You know, sometimes young children like to brag about their dad. Growing up, I used to tell my friends that my dad played basketball against the Harlem Globetrotters. My wife still lets me know that her dad was a walking encyclopedia. He was her source of information before the internet. Dr. Walters was her Google search engine. Our four-year-old grandson, Finn, enjoys telling people that his dad is strong and he can lift 315 pounds. Now, honestly, these are all significant things. I mean, playing against the Globetrotters, being able to lift 315 pounds, having an encyclopedia type of mind. But I want us to learn today that there's something far better than being able to brag about our fathers. And those are good things, but there's something special that can be said of all fathers who are here this morning. Now, I want us to think of the Lord Jesus, in whom dwells all the fullness of God, which means we find in him all the divine attributes. And the two attributes that are most closely connected with our salvation are grace and truth. If you know this verse that I read earlier, John 1:14, say it with me. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And then verse 17 adds, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Now, what is grace? I mean, we're talking here about Jesus being full of grace. How do we define grace? Well, it is God's favor toward the unworthy. It is God's benevolence on the undeserving. It is God's love shown so clearly to us at Calvary. I love words of the song, oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. What love, what grace. And since Jesus was full of grace, he welcomed sinners and tax collectors, and he even ate with them. He had compassion on the hungry, and so he fed them. He loved the little children, and so he welcomed them to him. He cared for the lepers, the lame, and the blind, and so he took time to heal them. And because he came to seek and to save the lost, in his dying breath he gave eternal life to the dying man next to him, who declared to him that you truly are the Son of God. And since Jesus was not only full of grace but full of truth, he could say, I am the truth. He could say that I am the standard of what is reality and what is not. And since he is all truth, he could condemn the religious leaders who were purveyors of false teaching. He prophesied judgment on Jerusalem for having unrepentant hearts. He talked more about hell than he did about heaven. And I find that very significant. The one who is full of truth talked more about hell than he did about heaven. And he perfectly kept the law, the standards of the law, and then demanded that his followers give him their very lives. Now, thankfully, Jesus didn't come simply to be that perfect example of grace and truth. He came to redeem us. He came to save us through grace. Think of that verse, for by grace are ye saved through faith. Not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. And thus he can say, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Doesn't grace and rest go together? And he came to save us through truth. Remember, our Lord said, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And if the Son shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Friends, it is only by our union and communion with this amazing Jesus that we can undeservedly receive forgiveness of sin, eternal life, and hope through his divine grace and truth. And how desperately we need both this grace and truth. How desperately we need that. These attributes of God, of Christ. The purpose of this Father's Day message is to encourage each father here to be a dad who not only has received Christ's salvation, and I pray you have, and that comes through the grace and truth of our Lord, but who is filled with grace and truth. Not grace or truth, but grace and truth. Our outline has 3 points. Point number 1 is a contrasting description of dads. Point number 2 is how dads become like Jesus. And point number 3, hope for dads. First, I want us to look at the contrasting description of dads. Now, there are dads who are full of grace without truth, meaning they are pleasant and tolerant. They are easy to be around. They are not demanding. They don't ruffle feathers. They don't make waves. They're very welcoming. But friends, grace without truth isn't really grace. It's just being nice and accepting. It asks nothing from others, and often that's what it gets, nothing. It accepts others for who they are, but it never helps them become the man or woman they can be for God's glory. Someone has rightly said, grace without truth is meaningless. And then in contrast, there are dads full of truth without grace, meaning they have convictions and principles by which they live. They believe in right and wrong. They speak out against evil, injustice, oppression. They see all the sin in this world. They aren't blinded to it. They aren't deceived by it. They want their children to be the best they can be, but they are very intolerant at times and very impatient with their children. They give little or no room for mistakes. They are quick to judge, and consequently, they can be slow to forgive. Courage can be inspiring, but at the same time, intimidating. Someone has rightly said, truth without grace equals mean. Kevin DeYoung has said it this way: if you are a grace person, you are most concerned about being loved. If you are a truth person, you are most concerned about being right, even if it means being unloved. Something is wrong if everyone hates you, and something is probably just as wrong if everyone loves you. And so again, truth without grace is mean. Grace without truth is meaningless, but grace with truth is meaningful. For grace brings mercy to truth. I was thinking about that. Grace brings the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, to truth. And truth brings discernment to grace or to love. Truth teaches grace what to love, what not to love. What are we not to love? We're not to love the world. We're not to love the ways of the world. And Psalm 85:10 beautifully marries these two divine attributes. Mercy or grace and truth, this verse says, are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other, which tells me where there is grace, a fullness of grace and truth, then righteousness and peace will follow. Righteousness and peace will then grace the home of a father, and let me add, a mother who is full of grace and truth. And so the point is, and I'm referring mostly here to dads this morning, in rearing our children, we need to be followers of Jesus, for grace and truth only come from him. Which brings us to our second point, and that is, how are we dads and moms, this can apply to you as well, transformed into the likeness of this grace and truth-filled Jesus? How do we become full of grace and truth? Well, first of all, we need to be taught by the Holy Spirit. For he is the Spirit of truth, who guides us into all truth. And you see that in John 16:13. The Spirit uses the truth of God's word to make us wise. Dads, if you and I are to be wise, we need to know the wisdom of God. And that's found in his word. He takes the commands of the Lord and enlightens our eyes. He unfolds for us the judgments of the Lord, which are true and righteous altogether, which all means we will then teach our children what we are being taught. And I think, and of course, we could spend the rest of the day, rest of the hour, just talking about what we need to be taught by the Spirit of God, and then what we need to then impart to our children. For example, Proverbs 3, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord. Depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. We could turn to Proverbs 4. Hear ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. Verse 5, get wisdom, get understanding. Forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Verse 14, enter not into the path of the wicked. Go not in the way of evil men. Verse 18, but the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. And then one more verse, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. As we are being taught by the Spirit of God, then we teach our children the truth of God's word. But then second, to be a dad full of grace and truth, we need to be not only taught by the Spirit of God, we need to be controlled by the Spirit of God, which means we will then grow in grace. We will then abound in grace. Our speech, and how important it is that our speech be seasoned with grace. Our heart will be established with grace, which all means we will be able then to minister grace to our family. Dads, if you and I are not full of grace, if there's no grace in us, how can we impart that grace to others, to our family? Which all tells us to be full of grace and truth, we must be spirit-filled. In the flesh, we are one or the other, if that. Only Christ-filled Christians can be full of grace and truth. It's something totally divine. You and I cannot pull this off in the flesh. Well, where is the hope? And this is our last point this morning. Where is the hope that we as dads need? Think about being full of grace and truth. That's kind of above where you and I normally kind of live. Amen? But it's possible. It's possible to let the Spirit of God teach us the truth of God's word so that we in turn can teach our children. It's possible for the grace of God, the grace of Christ to so fill us that we can impart that mercy, that grace, that love to our children. At the same time, we are instructing them and teaching them in the way that they should go. So where is the hope that we are as dads need? Well, in rearing our children, we surely are not guaranteed success. Honestly, we can think we are doing our best. We can think we are giving our all. But then things don't always go as planned. Our children don't listen to us. They don't follow what we're trying to teach them. In fact, sometimes they don't follow Jesus. They kind of go their own way. They do their own thing. And how sad and disappointed as dads we become. I can speak from experience. I have come to the conclusion that anything good we see in any of our children is of God. It's God's grace. It's God's grace. But I will say this, dads following Jesus, being like Jesus in the home, being full of grace and truth, surely doesn't hurt. In fact, it will help. It will have a wonderful impact. And being Christ-like is being, again, filled with His grace and truth. Thankfully, God gave me such a father. I can honestly say, cross my heart and hope to die, that I was given a dad full of grace and truth. And so I've seen it firsthand, and how blessed I was, how blessed I was. Now, I'm being very transparent when I say, as a father, have I always had the right balance between grace and truth? I would say no, and my children would agree. But thankfully, we have been able to talk about the past. I have said, I'm sorry, and now we have hopefully moved on. And families, yes, there is a time to discuss the past. Too often the past is just swept under the rug with the result nothing ever is resolved. There are times, parents, we need to have heart-to-heart talks with our children, and our children need to have heart talks with us as their parents. And what then occurs is the hurts remain. Again, there's no resolution. But once, and this takes grace, this takes mercy, but once the discussion has taken place, and it needs to take place, and apologies, if necessary, are made, then families, you need to move on. Continuing to resurrect the past, continuing to remind your children that you messed up here and you messed up there and you disappointed me here and you disappointed me there. And for children to remind their dad and their mom, Mom, Dad, you really failed me at this juncture in my life. Only triggers bad memories and opens up old wounds. No one can change the past. And there are things about my past I'm not proud of. So what do? You can't change it. But now our families, dads, need to see that God is at work in our lives. That God is transforming us more and more into the likeness of Christ, who is full of grace and truth. Let me say this. If your children truly love you, and when they can see that Dad is growing in this grace and this truth, I'll tell you, they become a lot more patient with old Dad. It's when your children don't see any improvement. It's when they see that you're not even trying. You're not even putting forth the effort. But I truly believe your children will be very forgiving and even very encouraging and even very loving when they see that Dad is trying to be full of grace and truth. Spirit of God, teach me. Teach me what I need to teach my children. Spirit of God, control me. Might I be controlled by you so that the fruit of the Spirit is so obvious in my rearing of my children? Friends, the Lord is still working in my life. He's not through with me yet. And dads, he's not through with you yet either. Aren't you glad for that? Have any of us arrived? Have any of us reached the point where we are full of grace and truth? I hope we are being filled with grace and truth, but we're still a project, amen? But God, the Spirit of God, is at work. And whatever years, dads, you and I still have to influence our children, our grandchildren, might we be, again, Spirit-taught and Spirit-controlled. Might we let the truth of God's Word dwell in us richly. Then we will be growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And then our lives will be graciously pointing our children and our families to Jesus. You know, as a dad, you want to point your children to Jesus, the one who is truly full of grace and truth. Now, we don't want to leave out anyone today. Wives, please be on the same page with your husband. Pray together for the heart we've just talked about. Young people, let me encourage you, now is the time to begin building grace and truth in your life. Through your walk with Jesus, your fellowship with Him, and then what an influence, what an example you can be to your peers. You don't have a wife, you don't have children, but you have friends, and you can be a friend being filled with grace and truth. What a testimony. And so on this Father's Day, dads, let this be our prayer. Let this be our hope and desire. Maybe our children can say, well, my dad played against the Harlem Globetrotters, or my dad is a walking encyclopedia, or my dad can lift 300 pounds. But by the power of the Holy Spirit, may they be able to say something much, much, much better. My dad is full of grace and truth.